Ivy faced them and lifted her arms into a pose that vaguely resembled a defensive martial arts stance. It wasn't. She was preparing to manipulate defensive energies. I just hadn't ever seen anyone getting ready to do two entirely separate spells in either hand at the same freaking time before. Two questions occurred to me at that point. First, if the plan was for the Denarians to wear Ivy's magic down and then take her by main force before their trap ran out of power, why weren't they doing it already? And second, what was that hissing sound? It rose up around us, something I could just barely hear until I focused my senses on it, tuning out the musty reek and iron blood scent of shaggy feathers and the cold solidity of obsidian statue's hand. A definite, steady hissing sound, like air escaping from a tire or hairspray issuing forth from a can. I lifted my head, twisting around enough to see through the crouched limbs of shaggy feathers, which seemed to be neither arms or legs, but something that served it as both, like the extremities of a spider. I couldn't see what it had my wrists pinned with, and I didn't want to. What I could see was a couple of leaves trembling on a nearby fern, and a gleam of metal from somewhere near the source of the mysterious hiss. Gas. The entire strength of this plan is predicated upon attacking the child, not the archive. Children have very low body mass compared to adults. A toxin dispersed in the air would be far more effective against Ivy than one of the Denarians, or even a grown person. All the bad guys had to do was pick something that caused unconsciousness and skewed heavily toward body mass, and they'd have an ideal weapon to use against her. Tessa and Nicodemus must have had several of their more capable lackeys carrying canisters of the stuff, whatever it was. Then all they had to do was open the cans and wait for her to fall. My thoughts flashed back to Thornhid Namshiel's spell, the one he'd been carrying out behind his concealing veil. A detail I'd barely noticed at the time suddenly leapt out at me. I'd been worried about what spell he was getting ready. I should have been paying attention to where he was getting ready to cast it. Directly underneath a set of large vents. He'd probably been getting ready to set a wind spell in motion to keep the air pumping through the vents and spreading the gas through the oceanarium. Could I smell something sort of medicine-y? Had the end of my nose gone numb? Hell's bells, Harry. This is no time either to panic or to suddenly pass out. I had to warn Ivy. I turned my head back toward her and caught Tessa's gaze halfway.
Worked it out, did you? Mantis girl murmured. If he speaks, she said, presumably to obsidian statue, crush his chest.
A weirdly modulated voice issued from the general area of the androgynous statue's head.
Yes, miss.
And then there was a whoop and a slap of air pressure against my skin, and statue's head, and shaggy feathers too, exploded in simultaneous eruptions of distinctly different forms of gore. The statue went out like some kind of faulty street paving machine, splattering black sludge that looked like hot asphalt everywhere in a steadily spurting stream. It flung itself onto its back, then bounded to its hands and knees and started hammering its fists at the concrete. I guess it intended to smash me. I guess without a head, it didn't know that it was actually 6 feet away and digging a hole through the bleachers and into the material beneath. Shaggy Feather just fell in a welter of very human-looking, smelling, and tasting blood, and maybe 300 pounds of limp, rubbery muscle landed on my chest.
Ivy!
I screamed.
Gas! Get clear!
And then things got noisy. A series of cracking thumps came down, faster than you could rapidly snap your fingers, and Denarians began to scream in pain and rage. I was vaguely aware of them bounding left and right and saw a muzzle flash from the far side of the oceanarium.